A Theology of James, Wisdom for God's People, by Christopher Morgan. PNR, 2011, 217 pages. A brief book summary from Books at a Glance by Mark Baker. Christopher Morgan is professor of theology and an associate dean at California Baptist University in Riverside, California. He is also author of James, Wisdom for the Community. This book seeks to bridge the gap between exegesis of particular passages in James and a systematic overview of the book. It seeks to demonstrate that while particular passages have important messages, biblical books also have larger overarching messages that merit attention. Specifically, James's theology appears to be rooted in the Old Testament, Judaism, and in the teachings of Jesus. Summary. Chapters 1 through 2, James in context and influences on James's thought. While there are other theories, James, the brother of Jesus, most likely wrote the Epistle of James. James uses many Semitisms or phrases that have been influenced by the Hebrew language. James is in the form of a letter, and the subgenre is paronesis, or exhortation, which is often characterized by numerous moral sayings strung together by common themes. The Hebrew Bible influenced more than just the language of the letter. James 2, verse 11, contains an allusion to the Ten Commandments, even listing them in the same order as the Septuagint. Deuteronomy 10, verses 12 through 22, serves as a helpful backdrop for understanding James, verse 26. There are several common topics between this passage and James. Quote, God's election for his people, impartiality, justice for orphans and wisdom, provision of food and clothing to strangers, love for God leading to loving others, and God shaping community ethics. Unquote. Page 26. Strikingly, there are also similarities between every major section of the Sermon on the Mount and the Letter of James. Chapters 2 through 3, Wisdom for Consistency in the Community. Wisdom, consistency, and community stand out as three intertwined central themes in James. Taken as a whole, James offers wisdom in order to produce consistency in community. This phrase, quote, works well as an integrating center because it makes sense of the obvious emphases of the letter and because it is intimately connected to the shape and other major themes of James, suffering, the poor and the rich, and speech. Unquote, page 42. James 1, verse 5 tells us that God gives wisdom generously and without reproach. God's lavish wisdom creates consistency in his people. The term consistency serves as an umbrella term for James's common emphasis on maturity, something that includes good works and is necessary for all Christians, page 61. Finally, this consistency is to be lived out in the community of Christian believers, a thing that is often missed in the study of James. Chapters 6 through 8, Suffering, the Poor, and Words. James has much to say about suffering. Individuals should not be discouraged when they suffer, but should consider it all joy. Chapter 1, verse 2. Likewise, the church should avoid causing unnecessary suffering by mistreating others. Chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Instead, the church should seek to bring help and encouragement to those who suffer. Chapter 1, verse 27, and chapter 2, verses 6 through 7. When James refers to, quote, the poor, quote, he stands firmly in the Old Testament tradition that uses the term to refer to, quote, those who are powerless or marginalized, unquote, page 77. The term, quote-unquote, words, or quote-unquote, speech, is present in all chapters of James. James's memorable exhortation to be, quote, quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, unquote, chapter 1, verse 19, is surrounded by instruction about God's word. Quote, James is not telling people to talk less and listen more, but urging the churches to listen to God's word and be slow to use angry words, unquote, page 96. Chapter 9, God's word and God's law. When James refers to the, quote, word, unquote, of God, he can mean multiple different things, God's law, the broader Hebrew scriptures, or the teachings of Jesus. James tells us that the law is, quote-unquote, perfect, chapter 1, verse 25, which, quote, proposes an eschatological and redemptive effect for those who obey its command, unquote, page 120. With echoes of Jesus' teaching, James claims that those who both hear and practice God's word will receive a covenant blessing, while those who do not practice God's word will receive covenant curse. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Also see Luke 11, 28, Matthew 7, 21 through 27, and Deuteronomy 30, verses 1 through 20. Similarly, James's reference to the, quote, royal law, unquote, in chapter 2, verse 8, extends beyond the Mosaic law to include the teachings of Jesus. Chapter 10, James and Paul. Many Bible readers have wondered about the potential contradiction between James and Paul. James says a person is, quote, justified by works and not by faith alone, unquote, chapter 2, verse 24, whereas Paul says that, quote, one is justified by faith apart from works of the law, unquote, Romans 3, 28. There are three major views of this conundrum. The James versus Paul view, held by people like Martin Luther and F.C. Bauer, claims that James really does differ from Paul, and therefore one view is inferior to the other. The James versus Paulinism view, held by scholars such as Leonard Gepelt and Leslie Mitten, states that James was not written against Paul, but rather against distorted interpretations of Paul. The James without reference to Paul view, held by Robert Stein and D.A. Carson, claims that the context of James and Paul were different, and therefore their views are not actually contradictory. A careful reading of James and Romans reveals that Paul focuses on the basis of salvation, or grace, while James focuses on the results of salvation, work. The third view is more satisfactory. Quote, thus, when speaking of justification and works, Paul typically cautions us to remember that we are saved by God's grace and not because of anything we contribute. Using similar language, James tells us that the true Christians follow Christ's teachings and love others, unquote. Page 143. Chapter 11, a sketch of James's theology. The letter of James is God-saturated. In five short chapters, there is at least 33 references to God. Moreover, it is not an accident that James uses the words Lord and glory in connection with Jesus. James wants to show that Jesus is God in the flesh. We can summarize James's theological trajectory this way. God is one. The Father is God. Jesus is divine. The Father and Jesus are distinct, and the Father and Jesus exist in unity. Page 155. In terms of the Christian life, James proclaims both the sinfulness of the human condition and the need for maturity and wholeness. The interplay between these two claims reveals a kind of ethical inaugurated eschatology. As E.G. Ladd states, quote, ethics, like the kingdom itself, stands in the tension between present realization and future eschatological perfection, unquote. Page 160. Chapters 12 through 13, Theology and Work for the 21st Century. James's call for ethical maturity is grounded in the character of God. Take James chapter 2, verses 8 through 13 as an example. God delights in showering his grace on the down and outs, who are aware of their need for mercy. James commands Christians to mirror this same focus. For James, Leviticus 19 stands as a key text that unfolds God's character, and the letter of James actually follows this same approach quite closely, although the connection is probably more intuitive than intentional on James's part. Altogether, the message of James is a message that we desperately need for the 21st century. While those of us from the Reformed tradition have rightly emphasized the importance of the covenant for theology, I fear that we do not sufficiently stress the importance of covenant faithfulness. Page 188. Let us look to James for help in this often neglected theme. Mark Baker, PhD, Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, serves as professor and assistant director at the Scarborough College, Durington Campus in Houston, Texas.